I told, and I just want to share with y'all too, the fact that, you know, I don't really know what God wants to do this morning. This I read this scripture the last week, and I've read it all week long. And I'm like, God, what do you want me to share? And I still, and then Jill made a comment when George was talking to us this morning before prayer, for those that were here Friday for Debbie's celebration of life. And Brother Bill told a story about a time that he had hurt Debbie's feelings, that he asked her, you know, what's your point? And I want to get to the point quickly today. You know, God is coming soon, folks. And I want to read 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 through 12. I'm going to read it in the New King James Version, and then I want to read it in the New Living Translation. And you know what? I kind of wanted to share this at the funeral, but I just couldn't get the release. And I feel like it's for today, but let's just go through this quickly. And then we want to open the altars back up, and we want to worship for a little bit and see what God wants to do in our hearts, in the lives of our people. Peter, verse 1 says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispensation of Pontus, Galatia, Asia, Cappadocia, okay, works for me, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. You know, we need a lot of peace multiplied in our world today, don't we? It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy, and we all need that mercy too, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You know, that's one of the things today, that we live in a world where a lot of people don't have any hope. And when we have Jesus, we have hope. You know, and that's one of the key things through these scriptures to me, is that hope that we have. And, you know, one of the keys about this particular scripture, this whole chapter, is talking about salvation. How many of y'all know we need salvation? You know, without salvation, we have no hope. Without salvation, mercy's not covering us. You know, we got to have those things. But it says, back to verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his, capital H, abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away. It's reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. How many of you had trials? You know, and that's something I'm going to tell you. We're not going to lie to you here and say that get God in your heart and everything's going to be rosy and peachy from there on in. You're still going to have trials. You're still going to have troubles. There's going to be struggles. There's going to be fights, but you're going to have to walk through them. But the key to that fact is understanding when you have Christ in your heart and your life, he's walking with you through those trials. He's helping you through them. But it says that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold perishes, the gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found in praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come. You know, those people in the Old Testament were looking for what you can get today, what you have the opportunity to see. They were looking for that. What are we looking for? Are we actually looking for Jesus that's coming back again soon? Are we looking to walk and to live in his presence in the way that we should? You know, they were eager to seek for that, and they didn't get to see it. You do. And I think we need to find that eagerness that they have. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them, it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us who were ministering the things which now have been reported to you, though through those things you have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look upon into. Now, I want to read this in the New Living Translation, and I'm going to kind of skip the first couple of verses, but Peter's talking to the people that are in these particular cities that have been kind of scattered, right? How many of you have been scattered? But he's got a plan for them. Verse 2 says, God the Father knew you and chose you long ago, and his Spirit has made you holy. As a result, you have obeyed him and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. May God give you more and more grace and peace. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus from the Christ from the dead. Now, we live with great expectation. Do we have great expectation today? Do we live with a great expectation? I know some people that do, but I think some of us, we don't live with that great expectation. There's a lot of people that are in the church today that are not living with a great expectation. They still don't have the peace, and they don't understand the mercy of God. That's one of the things we talked about in Sunday school this morning. Gary was talking about gifts. A lot of people don't operate in their gifts because they're still, they don't understand the mercy of God, and that God's forgiveness is real, that God loves us and he desires us. You know, John 3:16 tells us that his son died for all of us, right? For whosoever. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, right? He gave him for us. Verse 4 says, and we have a priceless inheritance. Inheritance that is kept in heaven for you. It's waiting on you. Have you accepted it? Pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. No matter how bad this body decays or how much things change around you, as long as you have him as your Lord and Savior, amen, Nothing's going to change. This is a temporary place and position. Life is temporary, but eternity is forever. Amen. Have you got that settled today? And I'm fixing to shut up in just a second. If you hadn't had that settled in your heart, in your life, or if you've took a moment and you've stepped away, you've walked away from God, that you've just distanced yourself from him, today's fixing to be a great time. And if that's the truth and you need to go now, come on, let's go. Let's get it. There's no sense in waiting. Verse 5 says, and through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, until you go to your heavenly home, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. Like I say, this is a temporary place and position. Eternity is going to be forever. The things that we deal with here are just temporary. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as a fire tests and purifies gold through your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day that Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. You love him even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him, and you rejoice with glorious, inexpressible joy. A lot of people in the church today, we don't see joy in their hearts and their lives. Why not? It tells us that we got great and inexpressible joy. You know, if you see somebody that's just has a rotten spirit, is that something that you want? Do you want to be a part? I mean, how many of you know people that you just don't want to be around them because they're so negative, so just toxic? But yet we kind of have the same mentality ourselves. We got to understand that what we got is an inheritance. You know, we walk through struggles, we walk through trials, we walk through pain. Things happen that we don't want to part of, you know, but he's called us to walk through them and understand that we have joy. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. This salvation was something even the prophets wanted to know about when they prophesied about this glorious salvation prepared for you. They wondered what time or situation the Spirit of Christ within them was talking about when he told them in advance about Christ's suffering and the great glory afterward. They were told that their messages were not for themselves but for you. And now this good news has been announced to you by those who preached in the power of the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. It is all so wonderful that even the angels are eagerly watching these things happen. Really, the keys of these particular scriptures is about the theme. The key theme is salvation. But let's not forget about the other keys, the key words here. They're hope and joy. And we should be walking in them. We should be living in those things. And as they come back, and let's stand and let's worship again for a few minutes. You know, there's some awesome songs that are coming up here. I trust in God. Do you trust in God today? Amen. Let's worship him like we do. Let's live like we do. Let's have a testimony like we trust in God. Amen. And let's allow him to move in our midst. Let's allow him to do what he wants to do today. And if for some reason haven't taken care of your relationship with the Lord, right now is a great time to do that. And I know there'll be plenty of people will be glad to come along beside you and to pray with you. If you need prayer for any situation in your body, in your family, come and let's pray. And like I say, these altars are open if you just want to come and worship. It'd be a great place to come and just to worship the Lord. You know, we think these altars are for the sinners, but the altars was for God's people. Let's utilize them.